We thank you for honoring our worship with your presence. Your word says that you inhabit the praises of your people, and indeed we have seen that in manifestation this morning and afternoon. As we enter your word now, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction and anointing upon my heart and my lips, so I will speak as I should as an oracle of God. And then put the same anointing and unction upon the ears and the hearts of everyone who will hear me. Those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that this word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the fruit of the Spirit of God. We further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit will be released in sufficient measure to heal, to deliver, to break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only wherever this word is released and heard. We further pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving all the blessing I mentioned in that prayer, in their own individual life, agreed with me individually and said, amen. That always gets us, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen isn't just a religious word. It's an actual declaration of agreement and receiving of the blessing that has been mentioned in prayer. When people pray, always listen. And then key your faith to what they're saying. And then you say amen at the end of it, so you can receive the blessings that were pronounced in the prayer. I have a very important message that God has given me today. That I have to share today. It says something about timing that is critical in the things of the Spirit. It's no accident that today we dedicated the Good Morning Jesus platform for the first year. That will be 1 year tomorrow. And that my dear cousin is around. And then Sister Buki's 60th birthday and Thanksgiving. And all the other prayers that have been prayed today. This I have entitled this message, Saving Our Generation. It is so important. As we all know or should know, we are living in perilous times. Our generation is facing challenges no other generation on the earth has ever faced before. Abraham and Enoch and Joseph and Moses and Joshua, they had the challenges of their own generation. But our challenges are unique, because we have come at a time of human history where there is a convergence of great knowledge, great ability of man to do evil. Man has always been able to do evil. But for the first time in human history, in this generation, man has the ability now to destroy himself completely off the planet. That had never existed before. Before, if we fought wars, you know, maybe 100,000, 200,000 people would die, you know, and it was with sword and sticks and bow and arrow. But all that changed with the advent of World War II. Now man has in his possession nuclear weapons that can obliterate the entire human race in 15 minutes. God forbid, if today Russia was to fire nuclear warhead against America. America fired her own. China fired her own. England fired her own. France fired her own. That's enough. We're all done. It's true. This is not fiction. It's a fact. Consequently, this generation, we have a great responsibility to our generation. Turn with me to Psalm 71. And we're going to be looking at verses 17 and 18 to start with. Then I'm going to look at one or two other verses talking about this truth. And God spoke this scripture to me, Olubi Johnson, personally at the time just around the time of my birthday, maybe just a little bit after. And it was personal to me because it's my personal experience. It was David's experience. It was a psalmist, but it was also my own Olubi personal experience. But it's not unique to me. It is scripture in the manifold wisdom of God that is actually applicable to all of us. Whether you're old, whether you're young, it applies to all of us. And this is what the scripture says. And I want all of you to read it, even though you may not be old and gray-headed, but read it. Say, now also, excuse me, let's start from verse 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. See, I got born again when I was 20 years old. This is so true of me. It's true of my wife. And hitherto, I have declared thy wondrous works. And I've done that by the grace and the mercy of God to some degree. I started this church when I was only 24. You know, I can't even remember. 24, 25. It was 1984. I was 23, 24, something like that. You know. And over the years, we've declared the word. We've written books. We're on the internet, television. So I'm talking about myself personally now. It's so personal to me, but it also has a universal application. Thou have declared thy righteous works. Now also, when I am old, I'm not old in Jesus' name, and gray-headed, and I do have some gray hair. That's why I cut my hair every week, praise the Lord, so you won't see the gray hair. Oh God, now this is not a, let's read this first. Oh God, forsake me not. Now, wait, I'm going to read the remaining part in a minute, but I want to bring out something here. This is not a man without consecration. This is not a man who has lived a careless life. This is a person who has been serving God from when he was young. He gets to an age, and you know the reason why this thing is so personal to me is that this exact thing was going on inside my heart. Then the scripture was now given by the Holy Spirit to confirm it. I was actually saying this thing in my own heart. Forsake me not. Of course, God is not saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But what he's saying, the spirit behind what he's saying is that, God, the way you helped me when I was young, keep helping me like that. Because even though I'm old, I'm not finished. It's a sequel to the message, Finishing Well. Even though I am older now, I'm 60 years old now, I haven't finished. My work for God has not finished. And you know what? You may be 60, you may be 80, you may be 90, you may be 30, you may be 20. It applies to all of us. Because we're going to read now what finishing means. He said, forsake me not until, even though this man has served God from when he was a young boy, like me, I have showed thy strength unto this generation. I haven't done that yet. I've served God. I have declared his wondrous words, but I have not yet showed his strength to this generation. I call it saving our generation. Each and every one of us must make it a point of duty that my life will not finish. I will not have finished my purpose if I don't show God's strength to my generation. How can you show God's strength to an entire generation? Only by the manifestation of the glory of God. Because it's not to one person, it's not to an individual, it's to a whole generation. So all the earth shall see it together. That's what the Bible says in Isaiah 40. It says, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all that entire generation will see it. It's personal to me. And watch this. And thy power to everyone that is to come. In other words, what God will do through me will be so great that it will be recorded for eternity. People will be reading about it even after I've gone. You know, David actually fulfilled this in a measure, not in its fullness, but he fulfilled it in a measure. It was David, you know, this is Asaph,
I think it wasn't David. You know, it's the psalmist who was writing this. And he says, you know, you've been with me since I've been young. I've served you all my life. I've declared the wonder of God, but I'm not satisfied. Now that I'm old, I want you to, don't forsake me. Don't leave me alone. Strengthen me so that I can show forth your strength to this generation and then your power to everyone that is to come. For instance, let me give an example. Look at Moses, for example. Moses showed the power of God to everyone. All generations are still reading about what God did through Moses. Hello, somebody. All generations are still reading about what God did to Elijah. All generations are still reading about what God did through Daniel. They shook their generation. But not only their generation, what they did was a blessing for posterity to come. Don't be satisfied with anything less. I didn't hear a convincing amen. I heard a weak amen. That's why I've called it saving our generation. We, you and I, have a responsibility to do these two things. To show God's strength to this untoward generation. And this generation, trust me, you know, it's bad. You know, it's bad. This is bad. Bad boys and girls. Generation that doesn't fear God. They are described in the book of Proverbs. He said there is a generation that is clean in their own eyes, but is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation that despises their father and their mother. He says the eagle will pluck out their eye. And some other extra things. I can't remember all of it that he said in the book of Proverbs. This generation, you know, in this generation, people have a sense of entitlement. When I look at the young men and women now, honey, I'm always afraid. They are so presumptuous. I read something in the papers. I'm just making this. It just came to me. You know, Professor Shoenka was on the plane. And Professor Shoenka, you know, he was in business class and had two seats there. So Professor Shoenka now took the seat by the window. So there was a young boy from America, you know, who... That was his real seat. Professor Shoenka took his seat. So the boy could have sat in the aisle. You know, he asked Professor Shoenka to stand up. It's a true story. There was a firestorm on the social media. The boy, 80-year-old, Uncle Wale, because I know Professor Shoenka personally. He was my uncle's very, very good friend. My late uncle, Fem Johnson, you know. I remember many years ago, we were in Heathrow, we're in the business class lounge. Joshua was traveling with me. I don't know where we were going. I was taking him to school somewhere. And Professor Shoenka was inside the lounge. So Joshua said, Daddy, that's Wale Shoenka. Nobel laureate. I said, you want to say hello to him? He said, Daddy, do you know him? I said, come with me. So I took him. And Professor Shoenka was so nice to him. You know, I said, you're shaking a Nobel laureate. Was I laughing? You know, we call him Uncle Wally. You, small boy. Generation, you'll be rolling. He told Professor Shoenka to stand up. We were joking, see, sit there. Ah! Ori mi folo. But it's typical of this generation. Pastor G, can you see Professor Shoenka? Good Jerry. Abi mommy. Ma for the day. Ma to kagbo ma kuro ma lo si bi ma lo si economy. Even if Shoenka didn't have a seat and he came into the plane and they said, "Ah, professor needs a madidin." Immediately, I'll say, "Excuse sir, you can have my seat." The children of today have no regard. Agbalagba with his white hair, Kongi.
a generation that doesn't fear God. That's why we need to show God's strength to this generation. Are you getting it? That's why. They haven't seen the power of God. They think the power is in dollar. Olo. The boy had money. Comes from America. I don't know what he does in America. You know, he has some money and all that. How much does he have? Now, you know, people say it's his right. I know it was his right. But it's not everything that is right that is moral. Of course it is right. But there's something about, the Bible says, you shall stand for the hoary hair. And sure, Inka has plenty of hoary hair. Ogwale has plenty of hoary hair. You understand? That, you know, that message is enough. But it's typical of this generation. They don't fear God. And I don't know the person. I don't know the person personally. He probably is a Christian. I'm saying probably. I'm not saying he is. You know? Because some of these values are not taught. That is why you and I have a responsibility to this generation to show two things. One, God's strength. And then God's power. And your life is not over. Correction. The assignment of your life is not yet over if you have not yet shown God's strength to this generation. And it is in showing God's strength to this generation that you will save them. Even if you don't save all of them, you will save some of them. Because some of them, as I speak to you, are appointed unto death and destruction. We have a very terrible problem. Jesus said it in a simple way, and I'll expand it. He said, can the blind lead the blind? Will they not fall into a pit? When the Father doesn't know, some of what I was talking about in the Bible study today, and the Father believes in gay and all of this nonsense, you know, put tattoo all over the body. What is he going to teach the son? So that son is already destined, is already on the path of destruction. Except people like you and I save them. By showing God's strength to our generation. It can't be done in a corner in our tiny little church. Thank God for our church. We have to show it to an entire generation. Nothing short of the manifestation of the glory of God can do that. Pentecost can't do it. It's going to take the Feast of Tabernacles. The manifestation of the power of the Spirit without measure. We have the Holy Ghost now, but we have it in small measure. That's why we haven't shown it to our generation. We have to get it now without measure so we can show it to our generation. Am I talking to anybody here? Now, the question then is, what is a generation? To move very fast, a generation really typically is the life of the lifespan of a man. So, you know, for example, my father is a generation. I'm next generation. Josh Olubi is another generation. Josh Olua Sonjo and Yohan Olubi and Zoe Asta are a third generation. So, ordinarily, that's how generations are counted. We say, oh, the generations. But the Bible, in order to give us a time frame that we can work with that is practical, has defined a generation to be about 100 years. You see this in Genesis chapter 15. I will not turn there. They'll put it on the screen if they can. You know, and it is this. You know, God told Abraham, he said, in the fourth generation, I'll bring them out. And then he says, they'll be there 400 years. So 400 divided by 4, what do you get? 100 years. So our generation really is everything that spans, even from before we were born, that really spans from about 1900, which is generation of our own parents. My mother was born 1928. Father's dad was born 1917? 1919, exactly. You know? But we're part of their generation because they gave birth to us. So there is a link between us and them. So we go back to about 1900, you know, and then we extend it back to 2000 and beyond, to about 2048, 2050, would be an accurate definition of our generation. And our job now is to show forth God's strength to that generation. There are people, my mother is 91 now, who are still alive from the older generation that we can still show the power to. Hello? Then there are those who are our contemporaries. When I say contemporaries, it doesn't mean the same age. But what it just means is that we're all alive at the same time. You know, who are in there right now. We're in our 60s, we're in our 70s, some of us are in our 80s. Then there's the younger generation that is coming behind us, which are our children, who are now in their 20s and their 30s. Then there is another generation, which is our grandchildren, that are now 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. All of that taken together, us, our parents, our children, and our grandchildren, when you take the whole thing together, that's our generation. That's who you are responsible for. If your parents are not born again, you need to pray them into the kingdom. And show God's strength to that generation. You do it for yourself. You do it for your children. You do it for your children's children. Like I was saying yesterday at the wedding, you got to see the big picture. See, too many times Christians, they say they cannot see afar off. They have a very, very, very limited vision of what God is doing. God opened my eyes. Spoke to me from the scripture. He said, you have not done yet. Sure, I've served God. I've declared His wondrous works. I've served Him from my youth. But God said, I'm not satisfied. Neither should you. And neither should you. Or you. Or you. Or any of us. You should not be satisfied with your life if you have not yet shown God's strength to your generation. And His power to them who to come. As God would have it, in His kindness and His mercy, I believe we are the terminal generation. Once we finish, that's it. Boop. Final whistle. Game over. Praise the Lord. So we have a great responsibility. So we now know what our generation is. Now, having understood that, let's quickly look at two scriptures. Psalm 24. Great scripture. It's in Psalm 24, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 10. Verses 1 through 10. And it says, a psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's. I didn't hear you, folks. And the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. Don't your neighbor say, God owns the real estate. Satan has only got a lease on it. He doesn't own it. There was a lease given to Adam. And Adam legally transferred it to Satan. But it's not his. Is God's. And you and I are heirs of God. So turn to your neighbor and say, the planet belongs to us. It does. Satan is an outlaw. He's only misbehaving because we allow him. You and I have the legal right. That's what the Lord Jesus said. You know, honey, think about this scripture. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Ask yourself a question. If all has been given to him, what's left? Nothing. So Satan has no authority. The authority he usurps. Because Jesus has already taken everything from him. All power. And guess what? He takes all that power and gives it to you and I. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. Verse 2. Quick. Let's quickly read through. It says, for he hath founded it upon the seas and established upon the floods. Who has, now watch this. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? It's a rhetorical question. He's giving conditions. Or who shall stand, I didn't hear you folks, in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now, watch this. He now defines this. This is, everybody, open your mouth, the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. This is defining a generation within a generation. The generation that will save their generation. This is the generation. There is a generation of people on the earth in the midst of a, watch the scripture, a crooked and perverse generation. But inside that crookedness, there is a generation of them that seek God. It is the generation that seek God that will now save the crooked and perverse generation. This is the generation of them that seek him and seek thy face, O Jacob. Verse 7. Glory be to God. We're not done yet. Hallelujah. Lift up your head. Oh, he's talking prophetically. O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Next verse. Who is the King of glory? Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and even lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. Let me contextualize that in our modern day setting. He's talking about the gateway to the nations. So lift up your head, O ye gate of Nigeria. Lift up your heads, O ye gate of the United Kingdom. Lift up your head, O ye gate of Saudi Arabia. Lift up your head, O ye gate of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Oh, lift up your head, O ye gates of the Islamic Republic of Pakistan. Lift up your head, O ye gates, Islamic Republic of Afghanistan. Lift up your head, O ye gates, all nations. And the King of glory. Not just the King of glory. So he's going to come with his glory. That's the job of our generation. Oh, let's get it. Let's get it. Next verse. Verse 10, and go close on. Who is the King of glory? Oh, glory to God. The Lord of hosts. The King, he is the King of glory. You know, the sing it in Handel. Don't go there now. All right, let's move on. Then look at verse chapter 22 of Psalms and look at verse 30. We're talking about the generation. We're going to quickly go through. And in verse 30, glory be to God. Say, a seed shall serve him. And it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. He's talking about that same seed in Psalm 24. There is a generation within a generation that is going to seek God and is going to serve God. That generation that seeks God and serves God will show the strength of God to their generation and his power to everyone that is to come. Then they can go home. Nobody's going anywhere. Turn to your neighbor and say, nobody's going anywhere. You're not allowed to go to heaven yet until you have shown God's strength to your generation and his power to everyone that is to come. I am not permitting you as your pastor. You are not allowed. Anything else would be disobedience. I said that jokingly, but seriously. We need to understand that. We have a duty to this generation. Now, one last scripture here before I go to the other part and close. It's in, Lord have mercy on me. yes. Why do we need to save the generation? Because inside the crooked and perverse generation, there is a remnant. there is a people who really want to be saved, but they don't have power. They can't save themselves. Like I explained, the blind leading the blind. A child that is born into a perverse home and family, who has, he's not even taught the Bible. He doesn't go to church. How is he going to hear all of these things? His mind is warped from youth, because that's what he was taught. He, look at Psalm 102, I believe it's verse, where in the world are you? Psalm 102, quickly go there. I think it's about verse 19, somewhere in there. Psalm 102, you know, where it says, those that are appointed unto death. There we go. Okay. Yes. It's amazing, the Bible, the accuracy of revelation knowledge. He's talking about our own generation showing forth the power and the glory of God. So he starts in verse 15, Psalm 102. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, talking about the perfect church, he shall what? Appear in his glory. Watch this. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. That's that generation again. Verse 18. This shall be written for the generation to come and the people which shall be created. They have not yet been created, but they will be created. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Say prophetic. This shall be written for the generation to come and the people which shall be created. God wants us to create new people. Oh, they're already men, but we are going to recreate their spirits and make them new. Next verse. For he has looked down. Why did God look down? From the height of his sanctuary and from heaven. And did the Lord behold the earth? Verse 20. There you go. To hear the groaning of the prisoner and to loose them that are appointed to death. Some people, by virtue of their birth and their family, are already appointed unto death. But you and I can save them. They don't have the privilege you have. They don't go to church. They don't know anything. Look at me. I use the example of my life. I didn't grow up in church. My mom was a single parent, you know. After, you know, my parents split up, you know. And my mother's a good person and, you know, lovely family and everything, you know. But I didn't know all of these things. Nobody taught me. But one day, God came and snatched me. I was appointed unto death. I was on the road of hell going fast. I was 19 years old, 20, had a first class, thank God for that, brilliant and all of that, smoking, you know, one packet of cigarettes every day, about 20. I was only 19 years old. I was on the road to hell. Fast lane. But God picked me. They that are appointed unto death. So it is my responsibility now to save others. I can't live a selfish and a self-centered life. I can't just say, God bless me, Sarah, our four children, our grandchildren, us many and no more. I can't do that. I have a response not only to scripture pasture, I have a responsibility to my generation. Say, pastor, you are a pastor. No, turn to your neighbor. Say, you too, you have a responsibility. Not just to your family, not just to your church, but to your generation. You know what my wife said when she was talking about Good Morning Jesus? He says, it gives you a sense of responsibility. Then I don't play around with my Christian because I have a job to do. There are men and women that will die if I don't do my job. And I will have blood on my hands.
That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, my hands are free from the blood because I have not shunned to declare all the counsel of God. Had he shunned it, blood would have been on his hands. How many of us have blood on our hands? The good news is that you can change today, hence this message, and say, God, I will serve my generation. And I will deliver those who are appointed unto death. That's the reason for the manifestation of the sons of God. The glory of God. To show strength to this generation and his power to everyone that is to come. In the book of Acts, Paul was in Corinth. Look at Acts chapter 18. Paul was in Corinth, and Corinth was a major city in the Roman Empire back in those days. It was in Asia, I believe it was, you know. And Paul went there to preach, you know, and to teach. And there was a lot of opposition, as all the devil always does. Acts chapter 18, and it's verses 9 and 10, I just want to zero in on. And there were so many, the problem, it was a very, very, very promiscuous city, a lot of sex, just like typical today. But today's one is even worse. A lot of sexual impurity, homosexuality, you know, murder, crime, all those things that were very rife in Corinth. You see, you need to understand the political and social milieu atmosphere of the first century. You know, when we read the Bible, we read it with the mindset of the 21st century. It wasn't like that at all. It was the Roman Empire. At that time, what was normal was idolatry. People went to church, but not church like we know it today. They went to temples. They worshipped different gods. Diana, the god of Ephesians, and Zeus, and all these deities of Greek mythology. And you know, they had different kind, and there was a lot of promiscuity. Because you see, most of the temples had prostitutes. It was part of the worship. They would come to the temple with all their demonic heathen dances. The women would dance almost naked. Then people would come, they would sleep with the women, they would eat, they would sacrifice to their gods. Sometimes they would kill people, human sacrifice. It was normal. That was why when Jesus was talking in the Gospels, he talked about 18 people that the Tower of Siloam killed. And then, you know, he said, you think there were more, you think there were worse sinners than all people in Jerusalem? Or were the people who Pilate mingled their blood? It was normal. That's why, you know, you have to thank God for today. In spite of our own problems too. You understand? So, back in those days, that was the kind of social atmosphere that Paul was plunged into. Here is Paul, a Jew from Tarsus, who had been born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. He comes into this town of Corinth with all the sin and all the lasciviousness and promiscuity. And, you know, all kinds of persecution and attack. So God had to encourage him. So Jesus appeared to him in a vision. Watch this. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. And he said, be not afraid. Watch this. Anytime God says, be not afraid, it means there's reason to be afraid. He will not say, be not afraid, if there's not a temptation to be afraid. In other words, there was so much facing Paul, Paul had a tendency to be afraid. So the Lord Jesus had to appear to him. As I'm speaking now, God is speaking to you and I individually. In our generation, be not afraid. In particular, if you look at the situation in Nigeria now, you can be afraid. Hello? Yes! If you look at our political, religious, economic situation, not only in Nigeria, all over the world, really. Paris yesterday, the temperature went to 45.9. For it has is the highest in all history recorded. The planet is burning. 46. If you're in 46, you will die. Oh. It can kill you. That's why all people in Paris were going, they were going to near the Eiffel Tower, and they were trying to, you know, like under the fountain to get yourself where even the water will be hot. About 2 years ago, you know, two summers ago, if I believe it was right, or the last summer, it was so hot in London. It went to 30 something. Remember, Yemisi? Yemisi was with us and mommy and the children and everything. Pastor Wale and I had to go and look for fans because the houses were built for winter. They weren't built, they're built to retain heat. It was so hot, we couldn't sleep. We had to go to the shopping center, you know, Pastor Wale and I, and go and start looking. We spent maybe, I don't know how much we spent. We bought so many fans and put a fan in every room because there's no aircon in London. They don't have aircon. I mean, you can put it and you can get them to come and install it and all that. But nobody, you know, because it's winter. It was so. And that was, Wale, you know, Pastor Wale is in church, but mommy's in church. Oh, you know, it was about 30. But 35, something like that. What would 45 be? Hell itself. You know, the Lord spoke to me. He said, I'm giving them a foretaste of hell so that they will not go. When you feel 45 degrees Celsius, you say, God, that's okay. I will behave myself. And it is the direct result of the sin of man on the planet. It's just a peak God has given us. That's why we need to save our generation. So with all of that, God said to Paul, be not afraid. Don't you never say, be not afraid of the problems of our generation and of the people of our generation and of the stubbornness of our generation. And of the rebellion of our generation. And of the covetousness of our generation. And of the immorality of our generation. Be not afraid. But speak. Laulu, speak. Kayode, speak. Rhoda, speak. Be not afraid. Open that mouth and speak. Like I did this morning. We can't be afraid of them. The Bible says they shall be afraid of us. But nobody's going to be afraid of you if you don't show his strength to this generation and power to him that is to come. Am I talking to anybody? Speak! I didn't hear you, folks. And hold not your peace! No, don't shut up. Don't keep quiet. Speak! Next verse. For I am with thee. Give a lot of clap offering, somebody. As terrible as this generation is, God is with us. So we have boldness to speak. Now watch this. The next thing is a very important something. For and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. Now, this next statement will break your heart. For I have much people in this city, this Corinth, with its idolatry, with its immorality, with its covetousness, with its rebellion, inside as in the crooked and perverse generation, I have much people, and guess what? You must not lose them. I will hold you personally responsible if you lose them. So you must show God's strength to your generation. To this generation we're in now. This was city of Corinth, but now it's applicable to our generation. For God has, turn to your neighbor, say, God has much people in our generation. And it is your job and my job to show God's strength unto them, his power for those to come, and so save them. I got to close. How is this going to be? I'm not going to go into too much detail. You have so many of my teachings on prayer. But look at Romans chapter 1. How do we serve our generation? Romans chapter 1 verse 9. Am I helping anybody here? For God is my witness, whom I serve with my mind. Hello? Whom I serve with running all over the whole place. With my spirit. That's why Good Morning Jesus platform is so important. You are serving God with your spirit. Your spirit becomes a portal, an avenue, a channel through the power of God goes out. When we pray collectively, 1,000, 10,000, you know, and people's homes are getting, fractured homes are getting healed. People are getting healed. All kinds of deliverance are, people who are not serious with God are getting serious with God. You are saving your generation. How do you save your generation? By serving God with your spirit. Prayer, walking in the spirit, you know, pray early in the morning, then once every 6 hours, at every opportunity, pray without ceasing, pray with your mouth, pray with tongues, pray with groanings, pray with your thoughts. And as you do that, you grow spiritually. And as you grow spiritually, you will come to the place where you inherit the power of the Spirit without measure. And what that is going to do, my last two scriptures, is revealed in Isaiah chapter 60 and Isaiah chapter 2. Maybe I'll start with Isaiah chapter 2, then I'll go to Isaiah chapter 60, and then we close. Isaiah chapter 2, and look at verses 2 and 3. This is the job of the generation within a generation. The generation of those who are seeking God's face. The generation of those who have made up their minds to serve God with their spirits. Serve God with prayer. Serve God with tongues. Serve God with groaning and travail. Serve God with confession. Serve God with meditation. Serve God with acting on the word of God. Serve God with walking in love. Serve God in showing kindness to the poor. When you serve, then you're going to show God's strength to your generation. And by that, save them. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. And it shall come to pass. I didn't hear you, folks. Don't you ever say, you know, this is written to you. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house, talking about the church, shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And watch this. And what? All nations that are saving this generation shall flow into it. And many people, sadly, it's not all, but many. So like Paul, God told Paul in Corinth, I have much people in this city. I'm not going to save everybody in Corinth. I want to, but there are a lot of people I'm going to save because I can see their heart already. They're not born again yet, but they already have a witness. They're already seeking God with their thoughts and their desires. And I'm sending you to them. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up. I didn't hear you. To the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways. And we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion, glory to God. Give the Lord a clap offering. As a perfect church, shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And that's how he's going to draw the nations by the power, when we show his strength to our generation and his power for those to come. Isaiah 60, a close. Isaiah 60 is a great prophetic scripture, particularly those first five verses, because it accurately describes the present spiritual and moral condition upon the earth. Isaiah chapter 60 is prophetic, present day truth that is happening right now before our very eyes. I remember years ago when when the United States Supreme Court, you know, ruled on same-sex marriage, I was shocked to my root. Then I said it here in church at that time. You know, this is about 4 or 5 years ago. I can't remember exactly. You know, I said, this is gross darkness. I said, this is exactly what the Bible is saying. You cannot appreciate that statement if you do not know the history of America. It was a nation founded on God. On their currencies, in God we trust. The reason why they left England, the Puritan fathers, was to seek freedom to serve God. When the American Constitution was written, it was written by men. I actually took Joshua Lubi to the place. Joshua was in a military school in Fork Union in Virginia, very close to Richmond. Richmond, Virginia, was the capital of the secessionist, states during the American Civil War, because of the war between the North and the South, because of the slaves. There is a church in Richmond, Virginia, that's called St. John's Church. There was where the Constitution of America was written, with men like Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, and others. I don't know all their names right now. There was one particular man there. I've forgotten his name. I'll remember. But I remember what he said. He said, give me freedom or give me death. That's exactly what the Bible says. They loved not their lives unto death. He said, they were having the meeting. Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and some of the other leaders. They were trying to appease the English king, because they were a colony of England. So they were trying to appease him. Say, okay, he said we should do this, let's pay it. He said we should pay this, let's pay it. Oh, don't let's rebel. Don't let's fight him. You know, maybe he will change. That man got up in the middle of the meeting. He said, you know nothing at all. He said, there is nothing we have not done to appease the king of England. He said, the only thing that will satisfy him is for us to stay in slavery all of our lives. Then he said, give me freedom or give me death. I will serve the God of my fathers without having to go and bow to the God in Westminster. When that man spoke, the whole place went on fire. Everybody, George Washington, all of them said, yes, we must declare. This was 1775. America's independence was declared on the 4th of July, 1776. And you know what they wrote? We the people. I know what they said. They said, I've forgotten the quotation now. It came to me. You know, Pastor G, help me. You know, where they said, about the American Constitution. He says, we hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men were created equal in the sight of God and have an inalienable right to the pursuit of freedom. Where did they get it from? Acts chapter 17. God has made of one blood all nations of the earth. The nation, the city that was set upon a hill, whose foundation was built on the Bible, now legislated against the Bible. I said, behold, gross darkness. Patrick Henry, thank you, darling. Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death. Patrick Henry, thank you, darling. She just Googled it. The day I saw that decree from the Supreme Court, I said, behold, gross darkness. America, the city that set on the hill, we the people, the whole American Constitution is based on the Bible. Hear me, America! You will return to the roots of your fathers. It's one of the reasons why God has allowed Donald Trump. In spite of his, I'm not a politician. In spite of his, he has a lot of faults I don't agree with. But if there's one thing that man is doing, is that he listens to what the brethren say. And what they tell him, they say, you can't do it. He has people like Paula White and some other ministers that are praying for him. And you know, they go and tell him, they say, this is what the Bible says. God said that? He said, okay, I'll do it. Papa who? John Hagee, yes. John Hagee. John Hagee is very close to, very, very, very close to Donald Trump and Netanyahu. You know, but these men, in spite of their faults, they have their faults. But you know, folks, fundamentals are fundamentals. Oh, come on, folks. Fundamentals are fundamentals. God forbid that darkness will rule in our land. And as it has not ruled in America, it will not rule in Nigeria. Give me freedom! And I'm not talking about going to go and fight with bow and arrow and gun and AK-47. Get on your knees and serve God with your spirit. A militant army. Hallelujah. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall... You see, we've seen the first part of that verse. We are now waiting for the second part, for the Lord to arise upon us. And His what? Glory, not to be perceived, but to be seen, manifest. Verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings, those lift up your head, O ye gates. They will come. The king of Afghanistan will come. And the king of Saudi Arabia will come. And the king of Pakistan will come. And all the other towns. Are you listening to me? And the king of China will come. Glory be to God. You say, why haven't they come? We haven't showed his strength to this generation. How many people remember Pharaoh? Hello? You know, there are two pharaohs. The good pharaoh and the bad pharaoh. The good pharaoh is Joseph's pharaoh. The bad pharaoh is Moses' pharaoh. Amen? But both of them had the strength of God shown to their generation. And both pharaohs bowed. One willingly, one unwillingly. But they bowed. When we show strength to our generation, the pharaohs will bow. Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Verse 4. Our God will close. Lift up thine eyes. I didn't hear you. Round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they shall come to thee. This is the harvest. We are now saving people from the crooked and perverse generation. Our generation is serving. We're serving our generation. We're now drawing. So they will come to us. Am I talking to anybody here? And thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Verse 5. Then shalt thou see. Give this to me in the New International Version. It's better in the New Translation. New International Version, if you will. Good. Then you will look and be radiant. What's radiant? The power of God will be flowing from your face. People will be seeing the glory of God that is in the face of Jesus Christ inside your own face. Woo! And your heart will throb and swell with joy. And the wealth on the seas. We haven't seen money yet. It's coming. It comes with the glory. The glory will bring the money. So don't look for the money. Look for the glory, and the money will come. And the wealth on the seas will be brought unto you. And the riches of the nations will come. We must serve our generation. Stand to your feet. Our generation.
Our generation shall live.
Almighty God. Almighty God, start from there.
Almighty God.
Raise the other hand to God as we dedicate ourselves to serving God for our generation. You may have served God all your life, like me. I served God all my life, really, literally, from when I was 20 years old. I'm 60 now. For the past 40 years, I've been serving God. I've been declaring His wondrous work. I've been preaching, but I'm not done yet, because I have not yet shown His strength to this generation and His power to them that to come. Look at what God did through Moses. He split an ocean, the Red Sea. The miracles that were done in Egypt have not been duplicated to date. But I have got news for you. He said, I did not come to destroy the law and the prophets. He said, not one jot or tittle will pass from the law until all be fulfilled. So everything Moses did, we're still going to do. Everything Elijah did, we're still going to do. Everything David did, we're still going to do. Everything Enoch did, we're still going to do. Everything Ruth did, everything Esther did, everything John did, everything Paul did. We are the generation that will fulfill all the law and all the prophets.
Oh, God spoke to me today and fired me up. And that's why that good morning is so important. It's a strategic key. And he said, go and show them you have to walk synergetically. You are there, Lord is there, they are there. And our prayers are in electronics. We have what is called an oscillator. Let me just say it in a simple way. If you have an amplifier, if you put in 1 volt, you will get 10 volts. So you say that the gain or the amplification of that amplifier is 10. Now, there is a particular kind of circuit. What I actually did for my BSc project. It's called an oscillator. The gain is infinite. It's not 10. It's not 10,000. It's not 10 million. It's infinite. You know what it means? It has an output when there is no input. The only thing you need to put is power. And what you do there is you put in some crazy electronics that just make all the resistance cancel themselves out. So the thing, you know, is a feedback loop. So you see, when we begin to pray like this, and the power in the king is going to the power in the group, the power in the group is going to the power in the king, the power in the group is going to, we will eliminate. So the amplification will go from 10,000 to 10 million to infinite. The glory will come without measure. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. I know everybody on my wavelengths. Touch your body. And raise your hand. You will serve your generation. Don't be satisfied because you've declared the wondrous works of God. Don't be satisfied because you serve God all your days, which is a good thing. But you haven't started yet. Tell your neighbor, say, we haven't started yet. I will not be satisfied until I show God's strength to my generation and his power to the world to come. It will be so great that they will say, ah, that generation, when they finished everything Moses did, they did it. Everything Elisha did, they did it. It will be written forever. That's why I say to everyone that is to come. Raise that hand. Put the other one on your heart. And pray this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I confess our sins and cling with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. It has come to me this afternoon. This prophetic word, this present truth, that I am to serve my generation by showing your strength unto the whole of my generation. I thank you that I have served you so far. And I have also declared your wondrous works. But I know that's not the end. That you will not be satisfied until I show your strength to my generation and your power to everyone that is to come. Oh God, have mercy on me. Let me realize the gravity of this great assignment. Help me to live daily from today accountable to this great responsibility you have placed upon my shoulders to be a part of the generation that will save my generation in Jesus' name. Let's pray in the spirit. Lord, have mercy on us. Zehlika, defre, lofrenes, niranamashangi tofrenes, lebredeka, zeki tofreninga tolomasha, ninga tolomashang, lombrega gramatolomatolomatofre defreshe, lopredik tofrenes,
Lombre di Kashala, Lombre Kamatolomos to fish, Lombre Kakamatolomos to fish, Lombre di Katufre, Lombre Kakamatolomos to fre, Antos Kafrenes, Lenger Dallas, Tofrenes, Tolomatofres, Tofrede Gagamatoros, Tufrininga Tolomos Tofrenes, now Tofrenes Kufrenes, in Jesus' name. Mommy, come, let's share the grace. If you haven't got this message, make sure you download it. Audio department, send the message to everybody on our mailing list. Everyone in this generation. I told my children today, I said, this is a message you must listen to. We are responsible for this generation. And their lives will be demanded of us. It's one of the things you will face at the bitter seat of Christ. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gate of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you His salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, thank you, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, by the grace and the mercy of God, you will save this generation. God bless you. Have a great week.